Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Welcome back. It's always good to have you here on The Advertising Show. Ray Schillens, Brad Forsythe. The Advertising Show being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by the Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show being a Big Radio Midgets production. That is the official corporate name, I guess, of the show. Or either that or a couple of guys came up right here. With a lot of great stuff going on today with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. Mark DiMassimo is our special guest, and we'll get Mark on in here in just a little while. He's the founder and CEO and chief brand officer of DiMassimo Goldstein, an independent integrated marketing strategy, brand, and business building digital direct and advertising agency. That's a run-on sentence, Mark, which he originally founded as DiMassimo Brand Advertising 12 years ago in Manhattan. So he's a New Yorker, a New Jerseyan, and whatever, but he's out of New York this weekend. A lot of good stuff there with Mark. We'll look forward to that. Also here momentarily, Shamin Abbas, our special guest, too, activist for excellence. Communications Darwinism is what she's talking about today. And Gene Bliss a little bit later on this hour, the customer experience. And basically, I like this one. It says, get rid of the dumb rules in your company. If you have a dumb rule, make it go away. Kind of like the bad Super Bowl spots that past weekend. Did you know that the Ed McMahon bad ad stole the Super Bowl? I mean, according to Mr. Garfield, Bob. Basically, Cash for Gold was not because it's pitiful that the down-and-out McMahon and MC Hammer should humiliate themselves before 100 million eyewitnesses. Not because, this is only as Garfield can write it, not because in the Dust Bowl Super Bowl, poor NBC is reduced to accepting schlocky direct response spot thinly disguised as a winking spoof of schlocky, winking spoof of our jewelry and bridge work for 17 cents on the dollar of gold value.
Yeah.
That's Bob's take on the thing.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, is that NBC's fault? NBC's going to take, they take a spot from DiMassimo if he had the money. I mean, come on, it doesn't matter what type of spot it is.
Yeah, drop your pants. We have an avail here. Not a
problem.
Yeah,
I mean, GoDaddy from years ago, back when in the heyday of a high-demand Super Bowl, GoDaddy was on, and they were pretty schlocky with their spots, so I don't know what the big deal is.
A lot of good spots, though, that we had the opportunity to watch this time around, including what I thought was one of the best ones, not because of its content necessarily, but because of its opportunity to lure people into the store that was Denny's, where they basically invited everybody to come to breakfast a few days ago this past week. And it says in this particular article, it says if it doesn't backfire, and of course you always have the opportunity for something like that to backfire, but I don't think it did. And
well,
a lot of people stood there to raise their cholesterol,
It's a great idea, great way to get people in, not to mention the huge publicity that they get with that. But what I thought was strange, Ray, and, we're not going to overwork the Super Bowl here, but we do have to mention a few things. Coke Zero, mm-hmm. with their spot that spoofed the old Mean Joe Green spot years ago.
Yeah.
My question is the target for Coke Zero, the young people really connecting with the old Mean Joe Green, or were they even around to know about that spot?
The answer is no, they weren't.
Yeah. It was a bit, it hit me as like, okay, if I have to explain this to my wife who's in her 40s, mm-hmm. What that ripping off of the shirt was, what about the younger people that should be the vast majority of consumers that they're targeting for Coke Zero?
Absolutely so, right.
Who knows?
I was quite surprised. The Hulu, .com spot was, good. That was, and the Monster, .com spot, incredible as well. What else was there?
Yeah.
Cars.com was good. It was just a bunch of good stuff there.
Well, question, real quick question. The, careers.com and Monster, mm-hmm. I thought we were in an unemployment situation. What are they doing advertising?
I don't know. I don't know.
People are getting laid off. I didn't know there was an abundance of jobs out there. That just seems strange. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Well,
it'd be interesting to talk a little bit more about, too. We've got Shamin Abbas right here coming up on the Advertising Show. Let's take a listen to that, and we'll get our interview going with Mark as well. Hey, stay with us.
And now, it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
What the economic crisis has wrought, communications Darwinism. In case you haven't noticed, and you know I say this with tongue firmly in cheek, many organizations have turned to, we're strong in the face of uncertainty. And we've been in this business since 1856, messages in their marketing and communications these days, especially in the financial industry. Advertising, marketing, and PR pros are all in the same boat on choppy seas, needing to keep these clients on board whilst they slice their budgets in response to the economic environment. This makes it a time for us to think as much about retention as we do about expansion and the survival of the fittest. Ask for more face time and over-service your clients. Stay in front of them as a person, as a team, not simply as an email address or a voice heard occasionally over the phone. Learn even more about your client's business and the effect the current economic crisis has upon it. This will deepen your ability to come to the table with an understanding of the business that goes much deeper than clever headlines. Listen closely and respond accordingly. Schedule meetings with key senior client contacts to find out their biggest concerns and their priorities. Listen and take that information and integrate it into a communications plan. The beauty of PR is that our strategies can be fluid as long as we're clear on where we're going. The way we get there can adapt to meet the specifics. Talk to your clients about developing digital strategies. While everyone has come to recognize the cost-effectiveness of digital messaging, not everyone recognizes the breadth and depth of the audience that can be reached this way across the board. Business to business, directly with the media, and business to consumer. If you're not working with your team to get very smart about digital possibilities, get on it now so that you don't waste another day.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Thank you, Shamin Abbas, and Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here on the Advertising Show. By the way, the Denny's Grand Slam thing hit with 2 million diners. I'm surprised it wasn't 5 million. What a great idea. I certainly would not have wanted to have been the cook on duty at that day. You know what I mean? Mark, we told you, was the DeMassimo brand advertising 12 years ago. Basically, he's also co-founder of Tappening, which promotes healthy, environmentally friendly tap water and sells reusable bottles. Hey, what a good idea that is, at tappening.com. And that's, TAPPENING.com. So he's a multiple Effie Award winner for both consumer and B2B campaigns and a whole bunch of other stuff, too, that we'll learn more about Mark here on The Advertising Show. Hope you'll stay with us. The Advertising Show being powered by Shipple.com and an incredible marketing platform. It's called Tendency. What it does, it gives you the opportunity to really build a killer website and make it work for you from a marketing standpoint. And after all, isn't that the reason you build a website? I would assume so. We've got Mark and Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Oh, by the way, it's SCHIPUL.com to go see Ed and his crew here. Be right back in just a minute with Mark.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsythe.
Stronger than dirt. Welcome back, as promised, with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsythe here on The Advertising Show. Mark DeMassimo is our special guest out of New York this weekend. Mark, it's good to have you here.
It's good to be one of the sharks.
Yeah, really. At least we're not jumping the shark, hopefully.
Thanks for having me, guys.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, you're an agency guy. We were just talking about the Super Bowl, Mark. I failed to mention what I thought. You know, we got Bob Garfield's way in. I thought the most outstanding spot of all that I saw, frankly, was Will.i.am and Bob Dylan for the launch spot for Pepsi, which really I thought was the standout for all of the spots in the Super Bowl. What were you, any standouts for you, Mark?
Well, I'd love to address that. I think what we saw there was Lee Clow and his gang over at TBWA, Shia Day, taking a play from their Apple book. You know, I think what they did is they ran the brand manifesto, the brand film that they probably won the pitch with. Just as if you remember Steve Jobs came back to Apple and he brought Shia Day back and Clow. The first thing they did was this ode to, the round pegs in the square holes, the visionaries, the creative ones. And, you know, you had ads with Picasso, right? Now, Picasso never owned an Apple. I think we could be pretty sure of that. But the whole idea was to just get the ethos and the mission of the brand out there in the world. And I think that's what we were looking at there. I think another really smart thing about that is that, you know, there aren't enough young people anymore for a mass brand like Pepsi to focus on the pure demographic of younger folks. I think what they need to do is focus on the rebel, the young soul in all of us or in most of us, mm-hmm. in order to compete with Coke. So some people have criticized the spot for, you know, well, Bob Dylan, that's old stuff, you know. No, mm-hmm. that's timeless rebellion.
Yeah.
That's timeless youth. I thought it was brilliant. I thought Coke did an amazing job, and you know, I have to be consistent. The Wall Street Journal asked me, so I'm on record, and I what I told them, and I still feel this way. I think what Coke did with Avatar, a spot where Cusack type character, John Cusack type character, kind of walks through this world where everybody's on their device. And you see these sort of virtual, virtual representations of their life as they bump into doors and they sort of miss life as it passes them by. And this guy meets this character in a bar and they have a real moment. And it's all about happiness. So here's Coke being the real thing. Here's Coke sweetly, and they need to be sweet, of course, they're Coke, sweetly addressing something very real, the tendency of people these days to be distracted and lost in a virtual world, and just doing it in a beautiful way. It's just a year, both of these brands had lost their mojo, both Coke and Pepsi, mm-hmm. 3-4 years ago, and now they've both come back really strong, and this is their time. I mean, if ever there was a good industry to be in these lousy economic times, selling cheap happiness, and caffeine, caffeinated, man, that's a good thing.
A swig of happiness,
A swig of happiness.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a good point about TBWA Shy Day's first effort, BBDO, long time Pepsi agency, late Phil Dusenberry, former guest here on the show a couple times, a great and wonderful, legendary advertising guy. Sorry to see
Absolute
that account leave BBDO, but obviously, greater things for Pepsi and TBWA Shia Day, at least from the first shot out of the gate. Let's shift gears here for a moment, Mark. You came to the attention of our producers through your work for Tappening. I want to share a little bit about the history of Tappening with our listeners, which is no doubt an unusual story in itself. First off, A little background on Tappening, the campaign, the website, how it all got started.
Sure. Eric Yaverbaum is in my opinion, an experienced PR genius, and you know, his he's the PR guy behind well, back in the midst of time, such notable advertising guys as Donny Deutsch, and brands like IKEA and Vitamin Water and Domino's, and DiMassimo as well. So we'd worked together on some stuff, and I'd say about a year and a half ago now, we were working together, my agency, DiMassimo Goldstein, as the brand marketing and advertising agency, and Eric's firm, Erico, in the launch of a company called Juice Energy. And Juice Energy sells green electricity, so, you know, more environmentally friendly electricity, to corporations, to business customers. So we're working on this green campaign, and we're getting very quickly educated about environmental issues and, you know, waste and pollution, et cetera. So in a way, our consciousness is being raised about this stuff. And we're both fathers as well. And, in fact, Eric's kids have gotten into the teen years where they, you know, become very vocal in their concerns about, you know, how Eric's impact upon the earth, let's say. So he was especially sort of sensitized to wanting to really do something about this. So, you know, we sat down and we brainstormed, and you know, what could we do? And I said, you know, I think it's what's really intriguing to me is that that bottled water, you know, water in single-use bottles, has become more and more popular. And every year for two decades, we've seen growth in this industry. And Pepsi's in it, and Coke's in it, and et cetera. And, you know, that it just seems to me that there's a business model for that pays for advertising, that builds a brand that gets an inordinate amount of business, water business, into these single-use bottles, and it's incredibly wasteful. It's got to be shipped, blah, blah, blah. So we basically decided together, let's adopt tap water. One, let's adopt it. Let's build a brand for tap water, not so that no one will ever drink a Poland Spring again. Mm-hmm. We're not purists. We know that there are times when you're just going to drink a Poland Spring, fine. But to try to redress the balance, and because it's interesting, and because it could be helpful. So, and let's try to build a business model that will pay for this advertising, for this brand building. So we said, well, what, you know, how are we going to get money for selling tap water? And the first thing that occurred to us, and the easiest thing for us to execute was bottles. So there were Nalgene bottles and, Sig bottles, and, you know, they were at the time, pretty much sold as sort of, you know, things that are sporty. So our thought was, let's create a bottle that's a statement. So we know how statements are, you know, brands are statements. Let's create a bottle that's a statement. So we put statements on the bottles. So they would say, think global, drink local, and be really nicely designed. Or they would say, what's happening? And we had various messages. And the idea is that a reusable water bottle could be a badge brand for people who want to express this about themselves and send a message. And then, of course, you know, somewhere along the way, the economy changed, and suddenly the economics of drinking this water, you know, the water out of the tap, got to be incredibly compelling. So, you know, everybody was up in arms about the rise in gasoline costs for a while.
Sure.
And, you know, we went out with an ad that let people know that people are paying $12 a gallon for bottled water.
That's just wrong.
That's just wrong.
Let's just take a break here for a moment. Mark DiMassimo is our special guest out of New York, CEO of DiMassimo, and actually what we're talking about now is called Tappening. It's T-A-P-P-E-N-I-N-G, tappening.com. Come back and talk more about that with Mark and Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe here on the
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
You worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy.
It's the Advertising Show. Glad you're here, by the way. TheAdvertisingShow.com, an incredible place to stop by any time. A lot of great podcast interviews as well since 01's when we started this show. Mark DiMassimo, CEO of DiMassimo Goldstein, and Tappening.com is what we're talking about today as well. So, Mark, welcome back to the show. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much. So good to be here.
Yeah, and just to finish up on Tappening, because I think it's just such an outstanding story and a great social cause. So you guys sell these various products, as you mentioned, at Tappening.com, and how do you gauge the success other than the fact that you're self-sustaining? I mean, can you share with us any of the financial numbers that Tappening is creating for you guys?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's... We launched, and you know, look, we knew this is self-funded by an independent ad agency. DiMassimo Goldstein's 12 years old here in New York, and independent, proudly so, and an independent PR firm. So we're not talking we're not talking the $25 million that publicists spent on Honey Shed. This was a bootstraps operation. PR was really our leverage. So, you know, one of the first things we did was we were a little bit upset about Coke not accurately labeling the source of the water on their bottles as municipal tap, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
They didn't do that. Aquafina does that. That's Pepsi's product. They clearly state that, you know, when you're spending the big money for that bottle, you're getting
tap
basically
water.
Filtered municipal tap. We wanted Coke to do the same. So we created what we call the Message in the Bottle campaign. And we asked people to send their used bottles to us with a message for Coke and promise to deliver those messages to the incoming chairman of Coke, Mutar Kent. And this got a lot of press. So in the first two, and God bless you people in the media, when you have a real story, it works. And I learned an awful lot about what my clients experienced watching where all our traffic was coming from on our tappening.com website. But, you know, we basically sold 200,000 bottles in a matter of days.
Wow.
We completely sold out. We thought what we thought would take us a year to sell, and lots of ingenuity. Basically 3 days into our business, we entered the great Tappening bottle shortage of whatever that year was, 2007, I guess, because it took us another 6 to 8 weeks or so to refill our stores of bottles.
Wow.
As people kept ordering and ordering and ordering. So we had our first sort of supply, I guess we'd call it a supply chain crisis very early in the business.
How'd you weather that, Mark?
Well, you know what? It doesn't really help us that we're not really operations guys. It does help us that we're communications guys.
Yeah.
We know that sometimes scarcity makes something more valuable.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that the people who were buying these bottles wanted to express something about themselves. So, you know, we profusely thanked people for supporting the movement. We thanked them for their patience. We gave them recognition. Whenever we really screwed up, which we did a few times, sending the wrong product or missing an order or whatever, we had some, we had our share of startup operational problems, not expecting it to be such a big business. We over-corrected for mistakes we made. We made sure that that every chance we had to turn a critic into, somebody who was an advocate, we were going to do it. And so there are a lot of people out there with bottles, sometimes more bottles than they ordered.
Okay. The bottles are out there. That's a good thing. Let's take this moment to take a break here with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe on the Advertising Show. Mark DiMassimo, CEO of DiMassimo Goldstein in out of New York and tappening.com, and a whole bunch more to come your way. In another segment with Mark, we hope you'll stay with us.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. What kinds of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
Out of New York this weekend, our very special guest is Mark DiMassimo, CEO of DiMassimo Goldstein. And Mark, it's such a pleasure to have you here on The Advertising Show.
It's great to talk about the most important thing in the world a little bit, advertising. I love it.
Okay, good.
Someone told me earlier today that Don Draper is the most famous advertising man in the world.
Really?
Yeah. That's the guy from Mad Men.
Oh, yes.
He does have a lot of charisma. You got to give him that.
Well, not almost as famous as George Lois, and I don't think I'd tell to be around with George if I were to say that.
If you're George, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
George gets pissed off if we mention Mad Men, so we don't want to talk about that. Going back to Mark talking about Tappening for a moment, you mentioned that you didn't have the budget of certainly some of your other clients at your agency, but yet, being a client of your own agency, I would imagine, was a great learning experience. And when you sat down to work on behalf of your own pet project and you running that operation along with your friend in the public relations business, that you began to look at the client side of the business perhaps a little differently. What can you share with us about how now you see the client side maybe differently, having now been one?
There's so much I learned through this. It would take a long time to talk about all that I learned about where traffic really comes from, and for example, how important online media has become for driving traffic online. That may sound like it ought not be a surprise, but in fact, it used to be that offline media was driving most of your traffic online. We just have seen amazing, amazing amounts of traffic coming from strong stuff going on online, whether it's broadcast or podcast or blog or whatever. So I learned a lot about that. I would say that my standards changed a bit. I've believed, and it's been, sort of a founding principle for DiMassimo Goldstein, that when you're developing advertising, you shouldn't have an advertising guy's standard. You should have a PR guy's standard. PR people have to write stories so compelling that people will tell them who are not being paid to tell them. Whereas, you know, advertising people can pretty much say whatever their lawyers let them in the space they buy. That's too low a standard. You know, what I would even sharpen that further from what I've learned with Tappening. If it isn't a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10, don't do it. Don't waste your time on the 9s and the 8s. It's not so hard to come up with a 10 idea. The hard thing is selling it through an organization. So what's so great about being your own client is that as long as you can recognize that 10, you can say yes. Yeah. And you can get it done. So, you know, we used ads and posters to hound the presidential candidates about their what we called their drinking problems. You know, sending back pictures of them drinking bottled water. We got people in the Obama camp to commit that Obama was switching to tap, and then we congratulated him, and then we called the election for him a week early. And basically, it with in a tongue-in-cheek way, took credit. So we've had a lot of fun, and you know, it was kind of easy to sell those ideas to us.
Yeah, and you are doing good, which is great. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. A lot of outsiders. I'm sorry, Mark. Go ahead.
I was thanking you. I mean, this is a movement first, and I just want to point out that, you know, we talked about the financials. It's a for-profit company. We have reinvested every dollar that has come in. It's gone either to, you know, buy more products to sell or into promoting this message. Yeah. So, you know, we're really committed to this message. To us, this is a movement first. But we want to inspire other entrepreneurs to find business models, because we believe if you can make money, you know, competing with dirtier industries, then you really have a model for promoting, you know, these cleaner behaviors.
And, you know, I think if you just bring awareness to the fact that, you know, you're not against large volumes of purified or artesian water that may be able to be consumed in larger formats. It's this small entity of that ends up in our landfills. It's the energy that is expounded in shipping this through various channels to getting it to the retail level. I mean, you know, I think of it, nothing more just brings attention to, you know, being more aware of what consumers purchase and what is behind that consumption, and whether you're really living a life of green, as they say. I think you guys have done an outstanding job of that.
Well, I mean, look at what they say, and we've got to wrap this up here. Tappening.com is the website. Got to visit it. But basically, it's keep using your powers for good, and that's what you're doing, Mark. Congratulations, and continued success here in the future as well.
Thanks so much.
Under pressure? Get creative concepts fast. Run a global pitch on openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 advertising and marketing creators from 125 countries. Simply take 15 minutes to fill out our online brief form and we'll take care of the rest. From world-class agencies to the best independents to the brightest freelancers, openad.net global creatives can deliver creative concepts direct to your desktop in a matter of days. Why not save time, energy, and money by quickly sourcing concepts from the world's brightest creative minds? Visit openad.net and see how we're revolutionizing the way ideas are created and traded. It's simple, it's fast, and it's global. Openad.net, the smarter way to create your advertising from the freshest creative minds on the planet. Visit openad.net today to find out more.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
Another public service announcement from Brill Cream. Men, beware. Use one dab of Brill Cream. Just a little dab makes your hair look excitingly clean.
Boy, what a nice guy. Mark DiMassimo.
This man...
DiMassimo Goldstein and Tappening.com. So do you drink bottled water? Maybe thinking about changing? Go see the site. You can find a... That's one of the big things. We try and reuse those plastic bottles, Brad, and maybe you do too as well. But you're not supposed to do that. That's not a good idea. There's a lot not of more contaminants
than,
there.
Yeah, not more than once or twice. But, yeah, I mean, I drink out of a 5-gallon. I get my water in larger formats and try to avoid the smaller bottles. But, yeah, I mean, like we said, if it brings attention to something that people are just, you know, consuming and doing it thoughtlessly, then they've done an outstanding job of bringing some thought behind what the hell you're consuming there, right?
We've got, yeah, absolutely. We've got the Pure system in the kitchen here at the studios, but obviously, you know, we do have some bottled water for other folks that,
sure,
come by. When we had Richard Thomas here, several months ago to record some stuff, I went out and bought the real expensive stuff, and I was like, oh, that looks really cool. And we didn't drink it, but I'm sure he enjoyed it. So, hey, next week, John Montgomery is going to be here on the Advertising Show. John is the founder and executive creative director of Threshold Interactive. There'll be more to tell about that, too, as well. As we kind of wrap up commentary on the Super Bowl this past week, an incredible game, good for late-game advertisers, basically, because nobody, even if you weren't a football fan, could get away from the television what was going on in the fourth quarter. When Arizona finally woke up, and well, anyway, what a great game, and that's about it. Let's check in with Gene Bliss here on the Advertising Show, and I said it before, but let me tell you again. It's called Getting Rid of One Dumb Rule. What about your office place? Do you have any dumb rules? Listen closely.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Get rid of one dumb rule. Plain language and humility for accepting that dumb things happen gives everyone in your organization permission to think and react like, well, a regular person. Many organizations strongly enforce compliance to established policies and procedures, but strict and rote compliance over time can erode employee ownership and passion. Over time, in the place of human kindness is detached compliance to policies. In the name of thoughtful reaction are rote responses, and in the place of questioning dumb rules comes compliance. Give your folks the ability to identify the dumb rules whose time of relevance has passed, or eliminate those rules that no one really understands in the first place. They've just always been there. You can praise thoughtful defiance. Believing in feedback from employees is core to becoming a company that your customers love.
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights from major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
Here at The Advertising Show, we don't have one dumb rule, we have several. So we can just get rid of one of the dumb rules, okay? I don't think we have any rules here. That's a good thing about the show. With Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth, what have you got there?
Well, I just was going to mention that one final thought on the Super Bowl, Ray. I got to tell you, in my opinion, the teleflora, which is this lady getting this these roses or these flowers, and they start speaking back to her as she opens box in this office environment. I think it gets the point across well, but I mean, it was a very mean and angry, mean-spirited, angry spot that kind of made a fool out of the lady. And the point was that you call Teleflora and you can get flowers directly sent to your office, and don't send them through the mail because you never know what you get. I just thought the tone of the spot could have been done a little more tastefully, especially when you're talking about something as cool and easy and
as warm and fuzzy
as
a flower. Yeah, why would you want to go negative on a flower thing?
I don't know.
Flowers, even when they're dying, they look nice. You know what I mean? I bought a dozen roses like that before. 206 mil is what they took in at NBC. So if you work there, go ahead and ask for that raise this year. No problem.
Yeah.
I'd go for it. John Montgomery next week on the Advertising Show. Founder and executive creative director of Threshold Interactive. And a couple of weeks away, we've got Alex Ben Block, the editor-at-large of The Hollywood Reporter, coming your way here at the Advertising Show. All good stuff. And always enjoy to have you as a listener here. Hope you tell a friend or so about what's going on here. Thanks for listening. The Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age magazine, visit online at edage.com, and by Captivate Network, you can visit them at captivate.com, especially if you ride in elevators a lot. You'll see them, okay? And you do, I know. The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth is a Big Radio Midgets production.